Well, welcome, good morning, and it's lovely to see you all here this morning for our international service. And the theme you will see, well, you would have seen, is everything in colour. When I was a child, a few years ago now, just a few years ago, we didn't have such things as colour televisions. I know some of you younger ones will be shocked by that thought, and even some of you older ones, older than me, will be saying, well, when I was a boy, we didn't have telly. However, when I was a child, I can remember my excitement at watching Bill and Ben on the BBC in black and white, and it was quite amazing. You've got Bill, for you younger ones who think I'm very uncool here, and you've got Ben, and of course you've got Little Weed in the middle, who used to come out with Flobob Little Weed, another weed, yeah, and that was it, that was how it went. And it was great, it was wonderful. And I thought that was all there was to have, was telly and those sorts of things. When Blue Peter first came out in black and white, it was just amazing. But you know, there was more to come, because funny enough, somebody invented the colour television, and they came out, and not many people had them, and we had one quite early. I remember my mum renting one from the rental agency, because that's what often you did in those days, you rented one, and it was huge, absolutely huge. And I don't mean the big screens that you see in the shops, the big curved ones and fancy ones. It was just big from front to back, with full of valves and things that just seemed to be magic to me. So we started to see the world in a whole new way, a world in colour. And it's a little bit like that today, I think, that we've come to celebrate the breadth and the width and the joy and the diversity that we have here in our congregation and in our world church. And that's what we've come to celebrate today. Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And this morning we're going to celebrate that abundance and how God wants us to be people who live in an abundant life. We're going to hear a poem from Jackie and Lauren and Alex, I think. Is it all three of you? I think. Two of you are going to come. Alex is going to be there in spirit, is he? Alex and Lauren. Okay. So it's Alex and Lauren coming to read, and Jackie's there in spirit with you. Right. Would you like to come up to the front then? Okay. You're right. Voices. Big voices, yeah?
"What colour is God?" asked the child with skin so fair. "Is he white like me? Does he have white light hair?"
"Is God dark like me?" asked the child with skin of golden hue. "Has he hair that's dark and curly? Are his eyes black or blue?"
"I think God is red like me," the Indian boy is heard to say. "He wears a crown of feathers and turns our nights to day."
Each one of us knows that God is there in all the colours above. But be sure of this, the one colour he is the beautiful colour of love.
So when your soul goes to heaven, when your life comes to its end, he will be waiting, and his hand to you will he extend.
There will be no colours in heaven, everyone will be the same. You'll only be judged by your earthly deeds, not your colour or your name.
So when your time comes, and you see God in his heaven above, then you will see the only colour that counts, the beautiful colour of love.
Thank you, both of you. Let us pray together. Lord, our loving God, we come to you today from every nation. We come to you to worship and praise your holy name. We give you thanks, God, for the wonders of the world around us, for the beauty of the African savannah, for the wonders of the Himalayas, for the splendour of the flowing waterfalls in so many parts of the world. We thank you, God, for all the beauty of your creation. We thank you for the wild animals that run free in the savannah or anywhere else. We thank you for the beautiful creatures that grace our earth. And we thank you, Lord, for ourselves, for at our best we can be a powerful force for you and for your creation. And Lord, we also come to you sorry that we have not always been a powerful force for your creation. We are sorry for the thoughts and the deeds and the words and the actions that we do that upset your kingdom, that disturb the balance of creation. Help us to be more caring for the world around us. Help us to see the world in colour as you see the world in colour. Help us to share in your joyous creation in all that we do. We bring this with all our prayers to you, O God. Amen. We're going to hear now from Celia, who's going to read to us a psalm about the glory of God.
This is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Like a champion rejoicing to run his course, it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. Amen.
Sometimes things surprise you, and Janet sent me a poem that she'd written that she's going to share with us in a minute, and it's lovely. So I'm really excited that Janet had written it, and I'd like to invite Janet to come up and share her poem with us, especially for today.
Thanks, John. God's love. Jamaica, land of the golden sun. God created the peaceful blue skies. He filled the land with many people from all races, cultures, and colors. God gave them a heart to share his love. He sent his son, so caring and kind, who promised a home high up above. His father's house has many rooms. We just need to believe. Jamaica, pearl in the azure sea, majestic blue mountains for all to see. God blessed our land with flowers galore. People dream of the day when peace will reign. God gave us all a beautiful world, filled with trees of green. But one became his cross, all dried and brown, the place on which our Jesus hung in shame. He died for our sins to set us free. His blood so red flowed as he hung there. Our gracious God, giver of hope and life, created Jamaica Duns River Falls, full of waterfalls like giant steps, puts us in mind of the stairway to heaven. How wonderful is God our Savior. If we but follow his way, true forgiveness we find. Our lives may travel rugged plains of kaleidoscope colors, But if we have faith, God will be by our side. Joys unfold in myriads of color, for Jesus our Savior has a heart of gold.
Some lovely thoughts. It had me transferred, I think, on a flight somewhere to Jamaica. It sounded great. Thank you. We're going to hear our gospel reading in a minute. It's going to be in Gujarati and in English. If you're a fluent Gujarati speaker, you can listen to it in that. But Ermi and Chris are going to share our gospel reading. The Gujarati is traditional and the English is from The Message, so it's a modern version of it at the same time. So hand over to you both.
John 10, 6-10. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about, so he tried again. I'll be explicit, then. I'm the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of.
John chapter 10, 6-10. I'm going to read in Gujarati. Hu tamne khachit khachit kahu chu. Isue teone drastant kayu. પણ જે વાના તે તેઓને કહી સમજાવ્યું એ તેઓ સમજ્યા નહીં. તેથી ઈસુએ ફરીથી તેઓને કહ્યું કે હું તમને ખચિત ખચિત કહું છું કે ઘેટાનું બારણું હું છું. જેટલા મારી અગાઉ આવ્યા તેઓ સર્વ ચોર તથા લૂંટારા છે, પણ ઘેટાએ તેઓનું સાંભળ્યું નહીં. હું બારણું છું, મારા દ્વારા જો કોઈ પેસે તો તે ઉદ્ધાર પામશે, અને માહે આવશે ને બહાર જશે અને તેને ચરવાનું મળશે. ચોરી કરવા તથા મારી નાખવા તથા નાશ કરવા સિવાય બીજા કોઈ મતલબથી ચોર આવતો નથી. તેઓને જીવન મળે અને તે પુષ્કળ મળે માટે હું આવ્યો છું. આમેન.
I've just come back from the Methodist conference this week up in Southport, up near Liverpool. And Margaret's come back. Naomi's come back. She's been working up there all week, keeping the conference going and making sure all the ministers are in their right stations for next year. And Ali as well has been up there. The Methodist Conference, for those of you not familiar with what it is, it's the ruling body of Methodism. And every year since the time of John Wesley, it's gathered together to confer on matters relating to the church and important matters relating to the church. So it's talks about all sorts of issues. It talked very much this time about a quite serious past cases safeguarding review, which has had really a big effect on the church and on the community. And you might have seen some of that on the news a month or so ago, where the secretary of the conference, Gareth Powell, was being interviewed and various things on the news because it became national news at that time. So lots of different things it talks about, but also part of it is about worship and about celebration. And unlike the Church of England and other churches, in fact other Methodist churches across the world, we have traditionally got somebody who presides over the conference, our president for the next year, and a vice president who also presides with the president. It's a joint thing. And our president this year is a man called Reverend Steve Wild. Steve, have I got that right? I have got it right, yeah. Who is the chair of district from Cornwall, but also a broad Yorkshireman, and is full of humour and life and exciting things. So I'm going to tell you a bit about him and then a little bit about something the vice president said in a little while. Steve is unashamedly an evangelist. That's his role in life. He sees that as his role. He sees that as the thing that sees him through everything. He wants more people to find the love of Jesus in their lives, and he will talk to anybody, anywhere, at any time about that, about the love of God that's in his life. So I'm going to tell you a little story he told at one point, because I thought it was a rather good analogy and idea. He told us of a time he went into a little chapel, a little Cornish chapel. And if you know Cornwall is full of small village chapels, many of whom now are closed, become holiday homes and all sorts, but it's still packed with chapels around the place. And he went in, and at the front they had a very small table, a little bit like ours, a communion type table, right at the front. And often in these village chapels, they leave it open so people can go in the daytime and pray and be quiet and be still and find space to be with God themselves. So the churches are very often open in the day. Well, somebody had taken advantage of this, and the man that showed him, the church steward that showed him the table, said, "Look what somebody's done to our precious, beautiful, polished, French polished table." And they had got a mark, and they'd written all over it in graffiti, all over the whole thing, some rather abusive and foul words on that. Steve nearly cried. He said, "This is terrible. This is so special. This is something that is really desecration of God's place." And he was so upset with this. He said, "Let me take the table with me and I will see what I can do." So he took the table to a Cornish French polisher restorer of his, and he was absolutely amazed. This man had no faith of his own that he would proclaim. He wouldn't say he was a Christian, but he said, "This is terrible, what's happened to this." He saw how horrible this was. So he said, "Leave it with me," and he took the table, and he said, "I'll see what I can do." Within 20 minutes, he'd got this amazing polishing machine that he'd put right over the top, and it had wiped away all the filth that was on the table. It was all gone in one go. And Steve said, "Isn't that like God? Isn't that like us? We've got so much in our lives that we just want to get rid of, that we don't want, the baggage that we carry, the things that we're ashamed of, the things that we've done, and the things that we just haven't got the courage to do. All those things in our lives that need to be wiped away." And he reminded us that that's what Jesus came. Jesus came to give us life, and life in all its fullness. "Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture." Jesus wants you today to actually take up that challenge, to say, "I will put behind me all those things. I will give them to God, and God will make them clean like the amazing polishing machine. You can be new." So it might be for you that this is the first time somebody has ever said to you, you need to think about where you are in your life. You might have been thinking for a long time that God is calling you to do something, but God is calling every one of us to change every day. So my challenge, if you are that person, if you have been thinking about where your faith is, where you are going with your faith, you want to believe in God, you want to believe in this, you want to get rid of rubbish in your life, bring it to Jesus today, now, and that can be cleaned, just as that polishing can happen on there. So when we get to see everything in colour, wonder what it's going to be like. When we get to heaven and we see everything in colour, I wonder what it's going to be like. You see, I think once we have found God, we have found Jesus, we have come to faith and we've understood God in many parts of our life, the next thing is, how do we live our lives? What should we do with our lives? So that brings me to the second of the talks we heard. And I'm not going to give you the full talk by any means, because we'd be here for about another 2 hours, because it's 40 minutes long on its own. And I would urge you to, if you've got a hold of the Methodist recorder, to look at it, or go onto the Methodist conference website and read the full report. The vice president of the conference, Jill Baker, no, B- Barber, I got her name wrong, I got it right every other time. Jill Barber is a historian and looks after the Anglesey Brook Museum, which is a museum to do with primitive Methodism. And I'll tell you a bit about that in a second. And she challenged us with the four P's. And this is what I think makes everything to be vibrant and in colour for us. She told a lot about the primitive Methodists. Now, those of you not up on your history of Methodism, way back after the time of John Wesley, the church began to split in two ways. There were the Wesleyan Methodists, which this church was a Wesleyan Methodist church, and there were the primitive Methodist churches. If you want to see where the old Hounslow Primitive Methodist Church, go round the corner and you will see opposite Halford's, and that just past the Superfood supermarket down there, there's a very old building opposite. It's now a Montessori nursery. It used to be a synagogue, and that's where the primitive Methodist church used to be. So there were the two types. And the primitive Methodists often called themselves the Bible Christians, and they were, in a sense, more evangelical, grassroots, and much more working class necessarily than the Wesleyan Methodists. Although if you go to places like Ghana, you will find that Ghana is almost exclusively Wesleyan Methodist church because the Wesleyan missionaries went out there. I had the great pleasure of meeting Bishop Titus at conference this week, who is a bishop in Ghana. And as only it seems to be Ghanaians know, seems to know a friend of a friend of a friend of a relative, and somehow you're all related to our Emma. So it all seems to happen in Ghana. So it was very interesting to meet someone like that. And I could read out to you the long connection that Emma explained to me as to how she knows him there. But in those things, we were challenged with the four P's. And the first of those P's is going to appear on the screen. She used some pictures from the gallery. The first of the P's is the word prophecy and prophesy. So we should prophesy. If we are livers of the kingdom, we should take the words of Joel and we should listen. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. This is a painting of somebody called Dinah Morris, who didn't ever exist. Is from a George Eliot story, Adam Bede, if you want to read that. Those literary buffs might like to read it. But look at the picture. Look at the picture that's there. The picture is of Dinah Morris preaching. And it was interesting because the Wesleyan Methodists wouldn't allow women to preach for quite some time, but the Prims would. And this is a picture of Dinah Morris standing preaching to the crowds. Look at her face. She's preaching with compassion and care and thought and depth. Look at the faces of the crowds. You've got people who are looking away. The man in the front with the red cap on, looking away, not wanting to know. Some of them might be praying. They might be sorry. They might be repentant. They might be turning. But the word prophecy is important. And we were challenged to think at conference, where are the prophets in today's Methodist church? Where are they? The people that prophesy the word of God, that say, this is what God says for us today. And the reply came, they're right here among you. Because you can't hand this over to someone else. Being a full Christian, living in colour, you've got to take that responsibility. You are the prophets, each one of you. What you say matters. What you do matters. Where you go matters. You are the prophets. So prophecy is one of the key marks. The second is about prayer, which appears in a second magically. This is a picture of primitive Methodists at prayer, and you can see the picture of the old pulpit in a way like it used to be here in our Wesleyan Methodist church, where the pulpit used to be up here and the tall steps used to go up, and it used to be terrifying to go up and preach from, especially if you suffer from vertigo. But the picture that really focuses, they're all at prayer, but there's the two men in this very intimate, somebody who has clearly got something on their mind, and the other chap that's standing there praying. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, so Paul writes in Thessalonians. Where are the prayers in our church today? Are you one of them? Are you one of those peoples that pray without ceasing, always, and giving thanks in all circumstances? I'm not sure I was giving thanks in the 8-hour car journey I had up and down the motorway. There were points when I was getting quite fed up with traffic jams, but giving thanks in all circumstances. And remembering that the reason I was stuck in the traffic jam was because some very unfortunate people had had quite serious accidents in their cars and lorries. Praying and giving thanks. Are you the prayers today? And the third is a very modern picture. It's about passion. I need to tell you about this passion. The blessing of bread. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and your neighbour as yourself. This is a painting by somebody called Rick Stott, who is a pioneer minister in Sheffield, and he works as an artist. We've seen things of his before, but he works as an artist, and he found a piece of reclaimed board from the junkyard to reclaim it, and the idea of reclamation, which is why there's a funny crack all the way up and down, which if you look at it closely, the gold mark, you can see the line, it's all been painted in with gold as a symbol of glory in there. And he's blessing the bread. On this case, it's a McDonald's hamburger. Because he's blessing the everyday, the mundane within you. He's a passion for God and for what Christ has done for us in every day. The bread as the element of Christ in the world and the blessing of the bread. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. With all your soul and all your mind and your neighbour as yourself. Where are the people that love God with all their soul, the people of passion for Christ? Are they here today? Are you one of them? Three things. So we have prophecy. Are you somebody who is a prophet amongst us? Are you someone who is a prayer amongst us? Are you someone who has a passion for Christ? And if you are, there's one more P to deal with. Protest. Because we are also called as Christians not to just accept things as they are, not to just sit back and say nothing can happen. We're called to be people who change the world around us and to protest. Speak out for those who cannot speak. Defend the rights of the poor and needy from Proverbs 31. The painting is by Laura Wilde, painted in 2001. It's called Give Me Some Truth, from a series Tides Must Turn. So where are the protesters amongst us, those that stand up and say this is wrong? Well, we have many of them, don't we? We have our campaigning group. We have people who write letters and complain when things are wrong to try and put things right within the world. We have people who are prepared to say this is not right. So if we're living life in colour, we're living life with God fully, we are people who have the ability to speak out the word of God. We have the people who can pray. We have the people with passion. And we have people who are prepared to stand out and protest. A lot of P's, but good things to remember. So the challenge as we go back today to whatever we're doing tomorrow, to our work, our places of work or rest or leisure or whatever it is we do in our schools, is to people who have found our voice in the society today. And our challenge this year is to find our voice as the people called Methodists in this church, which is actually really quite good, because I've got some good news for you. Some good news for you, because we have found our voice already. We have for some time been promoting in this church fair trade goods. Our tradecraft stall, our tea and coffee, and all the ways we do, we like to tell people about fair trade. And we have only just been told this week that we have been awarded, as a church, fair trade status. And we have to apply for this. We have to show and demonstrate that we are thinking about those in the world where we fight poverty through trade and what we do. And we have been awarded that. So I'm going to ask Lyneth, as our senior steward, to come forward. As we have nobody from Fair Trade Organisation, I'll pretend to be them. And I'm going to present the certificate to Lyneth on behalf of Fair Trade, and so that we can celebrate that as a church and remember that actually there's lots for us to do, but there's also lots for us to celebrate because we are doing a lot. So I'll go and get it just over here. There you go, Lyneth. This says that we are committed to using fair trade tea and coffee for all meetings. We are move forward using other fair trade products such as sugar, biscuits, chocolate, yes, and fruit. Promote fair trade during fair trade fortnight and during the year through events, worship, and other activities where possible. And we hear from Proverbs, the fields of the poor may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. From Proverbs 30:23. So I think we ought to give ourselves a clap. Shall we do that? Yes. We're now going to come to our times of prayer.
Prayers for the world church. Let us pray. Jesus said, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of.
We thank you for your church, for the richness and diversity of your people throughout the world. We pray for churches where being a Christian is a challenge, where people still risk their lives to worship you. Father, send your Holy Spirit to strengthen and encourage them.
We thank you, Lord, for a world full of color and beauty, a world full of opportunity and hope. We pray for those in our world who do not see hope, for those who face anger and war, for those who do not know where their next meal will come from, and those who live in constant state of fear. Father, send your Holy Spirit to bring peace to the world.
We thank you for our own church community. We thank you for the richness and diversity of this church. We bring to you our lives and once more commit ourselves to you. Send your Holy Spirit upon us to revive and refresh us.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that when we find you, we can see life in colour. We can see life in a new way and a new perspective. Help us to be people who live life in colour, people who stand up and proclaim your love through prophecy, people who are committed to prayer for you, people who are prepared to speak and know and live with passion, and people who are prepared to protest against wrong and injustice in the world. Amen.